Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go
aboard. Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour extraterrestrial tango. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, San Francisco to San Angelo, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Hey, listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How's everybody doing this morning? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you. We'll do NFL offseason with our friend Solomon Wilcots, longtime NFL analyst. You've watched him on CBS for quite a long time. He played in the league. Solomon is going to join us here on the DA show coming up in approximately 35 minutes from now. So we'll do NFL this hour. Also coming up this morning on the show, did a man named Bone order the hit on Big Poppy? Again, every time we get more details on the Big Poppy story, it's more telenovela than ever. A man named Bone ordering the hit on Big Poppy. Let's face it, you don't mess with a man nicknamed Bone. Also, the Pelicans getting real interesting with all those assets and draft picks that the Lakers traded them in the AD deal. A top 10 NFL draft pick gets booed in his hometown last night. Toronto celebrated its first ever NBA championship and tried to convince Kawhi to stay, wasn't effective. And it's a Trash Tuesday, everybody! So bring us your trashes. Who or what are you annoyed by? We shall trash them throughout the morning. You can tweet at me, DA on CBS. Send us your trashes. I will read through those trashes all throughout the morning. We will do our trashes next hour. Myself, Mraz, Pete the Body Bilotti, and the great Jay Berman in for Bogish today. So Berman with a rare swing, a rare plate appearance on a Trash Tuesday.
Oh, valid points.
So you got to stick around for that. It's all coming up this morning on the show. And as always, you want to jump in on those topics or anything else, phone line is open, 855-212-4227. Let us begin with the Houston Rockets. Because just a couple of days after the NBA Finals wrap up, this league is wide open for the next season. Who knows what it looks like when they start the 2020-2021 campaign? That year itself sounds like the Jetsons, so I'm not even sure that we'll have an NBA at that point. But this upcoming season, look, even if Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson opted back in, and I think we all assume KD will not, the Golden State Warriors, with a roster right now of Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and spare parts, and a bench with Livingston and Iguodala getting much older every single day, certainly every single season, this league for this season is wide open. And I would think that the chokehold the Warriors had on the league over the last three or four or five seasons has now been broken. And so the door is open for teams that have been knocking on it to finally walk through. And who's been knocking on it stronger, nearly kicking it open, more so than the Houston Rockets over the last 3 or 4 years? The Rockets simply can't get past the Warriors, but if they could, if they would, they should be competing for championships. And so now with the Warriors taking on water, okay, now's your chance, Houston. And yet, apparently there is massive turmoil inside that organization. A long profile done by Tim McMahon at ESPN.com outlined all of the different things that are creating tension inside that organization. Number one, you've got the coaching situation. And the coaching situation is Mike D'Antoni has been a coach of the year. He has led the Rockets to 100 games over 500 over the last three seasons. He has had a 67-win campaign and a number one seed, and they just can't get through the Warriors. But he has clearly coached a style that behooves James Harden, and they've won. But he can't get a contract extension. And there's bitterness towards the organization, it sounds like. But also that the organization hasn't given him a full stamp of approval and confidence because they are worried that maybe Mike D'Antoni is getting too old in his late 60s. You also have the organization forcing him to make changes on his coaching staff. And in the storied outlines that Mike D'Antoni is non-confrontational to a fault. If somebody does him wrong, he can't speak up about it. It's not in his DNA. That's a bad trait for a coach. Number two, James Harden and Chris Paul, apparently butting heads. And we kind of sense that in that Game 6 loss of the Warriors this year. But it outlines that there's friction between them, that Chris Paul pokes and prods and pesters James Harden to do more than just score, and Harden resents it because Chris Paul is fading in his effectiveness. And that essentially James Harden is saying, man, I'm an MVP. You've got to get up on my level. Stop pestering me. And then you have owner Tillman Fertitta, who's been called cheap, who does not want to go into the repeater tax that people have said have cut corners since he has purchased the team a couple of years ago. And Fertitta, who has made tons of money and is a native Texan, and you know his name and the family's name from being boosters of the University of Houston and also buying the UFC, Fertitta is a hot-button guy. And in this piece, kind of openly scowls and clenches his fist and uses four-letter words and drops the F-bomb, and you just come away wondering, what is his temperament to own a franchise and not have it volatile and combustible? And all of this begs the question, can the Rockets just stay solvent and competitive and together for one more year and prevent imploding if the Warriors can be taken down? It is where we begin your cold open.
We had a lot of opportunities slip away. Opportunities in the game, last game, opportunities in game one and two. If you don't take advantage of the opportunities, you can end up on the losing side.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That, of course, James Harden. That was after that Game 6 loss that ended their season to the Golden State Warriors. I think the best thing the Rockets can do is tinker with this roster and get Chris Paul and James Harden on the same page. Because I don't think you can trade Chris Paul. His contract is ridiculous. He's getting into his late 30s. He's making 30-some-odd million dollars a year over the next 3 years. He's got $120 million coming to him over the next three. You can't trade that. Who wants Chris Paul at this age, at that price? The answer is nobody. So if you can't move him, and what, you've got Clint Capella on a very reasonable deal, you're going to trade him because he's reasonable and somebody else would take him, but is that really going to solve anything? Because he's actually a good player for you. I think what the Rockets need to do is this season make sure that their role players, the pieces that flesh out the roster, are leadership guys, are veteran guys, are cohesion guys. Guys that will keep the locker room, because you can't, look, James Harden, you're going to win with James Harden. You can't trade Chris Paul. And the coach, you don't want to blow him out right now because you've had success with him. And I would say that, is Mike D'Antoni a championship coach? Maybe not. But the idea that Nick Nurse is? No. It's just that Nick Nurse had Kawhi Leonard, and Nick Nurse had a really good team, and Nick Nurse didn't screw it up. I mean, if you have the players, you just want the coach not to screw it up at the NBA. So I don't think Mike D'Antoni is the guy that's going to screw it up if you've got the players. You've got to build cohesion in that locker room by bringing in leadership guys. And Chris Paul is kind of a fake leader. He always has been. He considers himself a leader, but is he really? I think people within the league would tell you he's not. He's two-faced. He's shallow. He's vindictive. Not leadership qualities. I would also say Tillman Fertitta needs to get out of the way, because what ends up happening is if you've got an owner who's on edge and he's verbalizing the problems beneath the surface, which Fertitta has done, it's only going to lead to problems that filter down. Because if the owner is going to verbalize this type of stuff, because he's just too quick with the tongue, he's too open, he's too transparent, he's too emotional, it's going to filter down to the GM, which filters down to the roster, which filters down to the coach, which filters down to the staff, which filters down to everybody. Fertitta needs to shut up. Rich guy that thinks he's needs a microphone, and he doesn't. So if you can plug those holes and you can create some leadership inside the locker room, the Rockets should roll the dice this year. Because the West, we've already established that the Lakers might be the favorite right now in the West. The Rockets aren't far, let's face it, from a team that right now has LeBron, AD, Kyle Kuzma, and what? A bunch of Beanie Babies on the roster. So keep it together. Help out the DNA of the locker room. Tell the owner, shut the hell up. Give a vote of confidence to the coach and roll the dice. Just don't implode yet, because this is not the offseason to implode going into next year, which is wide open in the NBA. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Yesterday, Kawhi Leonard and company celebrating their championship with a parade in downtown Toronto. We'll play some audio from both Kawhi and Marc Gasol and talk about the parade, and we'll debate the question whether yesterday was a step towards keeping Kawhi in the six. Plus, we'll talk football with Solomon Wilcots later on in this hour as well. You're locked into the DA Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Good morning, man. Here comes my ex-wife. Could you beat me up? Oh, man, good look.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, how long you been on the air, D.A.?
22 minutes past the hour. D.A. with you. CBS Sports Radio every single day, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific. Across the great CBS Sports Radio Network, you can listen to us on all these great terrestrial radio affiliates that we have, plus on Sirius XM, Channel 206. And you can hit us up on the phone as well. Listen to us using the CBS Sports app, radio.com, or Apple Music. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done, Mike Trout. The Angels superstar and the best player in Major League Baseball went 4-for-5, 2 runs scored, 3 RBIs, and a 10-5 win over the Jays. He hits a home run his 20th of the season. So Mike Trout finishes a triple shy of the cycle. Now has 8 consecutive 20 home run seasons, which ties Tim Salmon, of all people, for the most in franchise history, but also puts him in line with guys like Joe DiMaggio, Jimmy Fox, Alex Rodriguez, Ken Griffey Jr., doing this much this early in his career before the age of 28. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. It's a Trash Tuesday, so why not let us know who or what you're trashing today? Sometimes, you know, trashes just come. You don't know where they're going to come from, when they're going to come. They just come. And yesterday, I didn't know what I was going to trash. And then I was walking down the street, and I saw something that I said, yep, that's my Trash Tuesday. So we'll get to our trashes coming up here next hour, but we'll read through yours throughout the morning. Just tweet at me, DA on CBS. Time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
What did I tell you last week when Klay Thompson mocked Kawhi Leonard's laugh? It was the end of Klay Thompson. Remember, I said this. Now, I had predicted that Kawhi Leonard's alien overlords were simply going to sap the strength out of Klay Thompson and force him to go 1 of 15 three-point shooting. Instead, they took his ACL. You do not mock Kawhi Borg 3000, and Klay did, because you know who gets the last laugh? Kawhi Borg 3000, and he took the podium yesterday at the parade in Toronto and proceeded to do his own laugh.
I just want to say thank y'all for welcoming me here after the trade with open arms, man. It made my experience that much better. This group of guys let me do what I do on the floor. Coach Nick let me do what I do. And now we got a championship. Thank you. And like they said, enjoy this. Enjoy this moment. And have fun with it. A ha, 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 ha.
And like I said, enjoy this moment. It's like Kawhi has an earpiece and the alien overlords are telling him what to say in human form. Like I said, have fun. Zeep zap zeep leap lore. Zeep zap. Ha ha. Ha! Zeep, zap, zeep, zap, bleep, blorp, bleep, blorp, blorp, zap, zeep. Don't mock Kawhi. Klay got it the hard way, man. The Warriors had run such roughshod over everybody over the last couple of years. They got so entitled. They got so arrogant. You had Steph Curry pantomiming, laying a gift on the floor, if you will, a couple of NBA finals ago. You have them mocking people, dancing, shimmying, throwing it up from half court, then mimicking Kawhi Leonard's laugh. Well, that was the end of the dynasty. Okay? Once you mock Kawhi Leonard's laugh, it's the end. Sorry, you did it to yourself.
Thank you. And like they said, enjoy this. Enjoy this moment.
Enjoy, like they said. Like my overlord said, like humans say, enjoy this moment. They. Oh, did I say they? I meant we. I'm a human too. I forgot for a sec. Marc Gasol was also at the parade, of course. And Marc Gasol knows how to party. When asked about being the first pair of brothers, him and Powell, to both win a ring in the NBA.
To me right now is more important about, you know, my teammates and my coaches and Toronto and the whole country. Like, it's not about me and my brother. It's more about, you know, my other brothers and my family in Toronto and, you know, the whole country.
Okay. Well, Marc Gasol has a lot of brothers on the team and in the stands because that crowd yesterday was insane. I think it was 1.5 million people showed up to watch the Raptors. Who said basketball couldn't work in Canada? That was phenomenal. And some of the pictures that I was seeing come across social media, man, if you've got a man cave, a sports den, a TV room, something, and you were a Raptors fan anywhere in Canada, you have got some of the best photos ever. I mean, the shot of Kawhi Leonard crouching down, watching his buzzer beater take three or four bounces in against the Sixers in Game 7 was incredible. That shot goes down in history, but the shots yesterday of the parade were insane. The photographs of Jurassic Park on the night that they clinched, insane. There's some really iconic moments. And finally, our favorite broadcast team in America, John and Susan, as part of the Yankees radio network, were waxing poetic about DJ LeMahieu. Susan Waldman, a big DJ fan, apparently. But then John Sterling mentions how he's the team MVP and things get a little rocky.
Everybody who's watched, we've watched every pitch of every game. This guy, you appreciate him so much when you see him play every day.
Luke Voit takes low. And that's why, you know, I open my big mouth and say rash things. But in my mind, he's the MVP of the Yankees this year through June. I know, it's only June.
You just hear Susan stroke her chin, look up to the rafters and think, Well, I mean, I said he was good, John, but I didn't know he was the team MVP.
And he's the MVP of the Yankees this year.
Now, do you think that that's a quizzical, curious, wow, I hadn't thought of that, John? Or was that she is so excited, she's kind of blurting out, yeah, like she's so excited about that.
No, I think it's, I didn't think that he could be the MVP. I thought he was good, but the MVP, That's not where I was going with my take on him.
Yeah, this is a team that's pretty good with a lot of stars. And John is identifying DJ LeMahieu as the team MVP thus far?
I think he is.
Is he the team MVP?
And he's the MVP of the Yankees this year.
The 2-2 to Voit.
Luke Voit takes low.
Can we hear that setup again, Pete? Let's just hear Susan wax poetic about DJ LeMahieu and John quickly cut her off and just say, the 2-2 to Luke Voit.
Everybody who's watched, we've watched every pitch of every game. This guy, you appreciate him so much when you see him play every day.
Luke Voit takes low. And he's the MVP of the Yankees this year.
Well, I guess you have a point, John. I thought he was good. I did not think he was that good. That's your sound.
The computer has a keyboard, like in a typewriter.
Yeah. Shockingly, these new things called a computer, okay, they have like an electronic machine inside. It has like some type of electronic brain. And then the way that it works, how you can access that information is through something like a keyboard. And if you think about it, it's like a typewriter. You know, you guys know a typewriter, right? Because everybody that I'm talking to is over the age of 80. Well, remember, you know
Luke Voit takes low.
I know how, you know, you're all using a typewriter regularly to send letters across country to your family since we don't have telecommunications at this point in time. I know you're all like Angela Lansbury. We're just writing on typewriters consistently. It's like a typewriter. If you think about a computer, if you don't know what a computer is, I'm trying to describe it to you. It's like a machine, okay, that has some type of electronic aptitude and brain inside of it. And it has like gears and wheels. And then you access it with a keyboard. And a keyboard's kind of like where all the little buttons have letters that you press with the corresponding letter that you want, like on a typewriter. So if you were born in the 1800s, I'm going to describe to you what a computer looks like now in 2019.
Well, it'd be a two.
When we come back, Solomon Wilcott of the NFL broadcast sphere. He's been a longtime NFL analyst. He's going to join us to talk about the NFL offseason and is it finally normalcy in Pittsburgh? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
I want 3 parts chicken, 2 parts pineapple, just like you would your normal shish kebab. Cook them on low.
You really enjoy saying shish kebab.
It's a shish kebab. I mean,
shish kebab.
Yeah, that's it.
Shish kebab.
A shish kebab.
If we want to go shish kebab, it's a shish kebab.
Shish kebab.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Everybody now, it's shish kebab time. Listen to the show. Watch the show. WatchDA.com on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop, on your smart TV. Watch it wherever you are, however you'd like, on any device at WatchDA.com. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% on car insurance. Yesterday, I was on LinkedIn. I get a lot of people requesting me on LinkedIn, which is very nice. And I always like to accept everybody on LinkedIn because nice network of listeners and people in the industry or people in other industries get to know people. So this young man, he requests me to be a friend or a connection on LinkedIn. So I accept. And he says, in a response, thank you very much for accepting my LinkedIn request. I look up to you in the industry. And I was wondering for a favor, if you could do me a favor. And at this point in time of the message, of course, very humbled that anybody would look up to me in this industry. It's always very, very, it's an honor for young broadcasters that I get asked for advice, direction, what have you. And he says, could you write a recommendation for me? Now, I don't know if this young man knows how recommendations work, but I don't know him. I never talked to him. I've never met him. I don't know who he is. And I had to pause and say, is this kid serious? A recommendation, you know, usually recommend somebody for a job or a place in higher education or an accepted somewhere from somebody that, you know, knows the person. So you ask a teacher, a professor, a boss, somebody, a supervisor, somebody that, you know, knows you. And I had to find a way to politely say, I'm happy to help you any way that I can. Any advice I can lend, I'm happy to do so. Any questions you might have about the industry, I have more than enough time for you if you want to chat. But I'm sorry, I can't write a recommendation because I don't have any personal experience with you. I don't have any personal knowledge of who you are or what you do. What else can I do there? I mean, I try to be polite, but could you imagine asking somebody for a recommendation if you've never met them and they've never met you?
It's funny you say this, DA. I had a program director, I will not name it, another station, call me last August to ask me what I knew about somebody that I'd only met standing online to compete in a radio contest before I ever got into business with and say, oh, well, he put you down as his first source to try to get this job. And I'm pretty sure this person didn't get the job because I said, I hate to sandbag this person, but we've said 3 words to each other our whole lives.
So you were in line for a radio contest?
So before I ever interned, way back when at WFN in New York, I did Fantasy Phenom, which was the contest or whatever that John Jastrzemski you've heard had won, the first ever one.
So some sports radio stations have amateurs that are not in the business, regular fans that listen to the show, listeners to the station. get on the show or get on the air in a competition kind of like American Idol to see if they can host a shift or sometimes do regular shifts.
Right. And I made the semifinals of the first ever contest. And in the semifinals, I met this other person who lost just like I did. Yeah, he ended up friending me on Facebook. We never really talked after that. And he applied for a job and with another program director who I had never met either.
And you're a reference.
And I not only referenced this program director, I was his first reference.
Your first reference.
And I think his point of putting me as a reference was that he met me and just kind of like that, like he knew, I guess, I was higher up at a show somewhere that maybe would look good for him.
A total of three words, or how much did you really interact?
I mean, every year, I guess I'll give him the happy birthday on Facebook.
Okay.
So that's fine.
All right. So you know when his birthday is.
Never, well, only because of Facebook friends, but never a hangout, never nothing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the same kind of deal. And then, but also, you're going to put me on a reference for a job. Like, at least this person has to write a recommendation letter. How about you let me know said job might be calling me? So I'm not like, wait, what are you talking about?
That's a good
Who
idea.
Who says they know me?
That's a very good idea.
So I have probably cost somebody a job, but I think this might be a little different. I think you should write the letter for this person.
You do.
Because you know
I've never met him. I don't know what he's applying for, and I don't know his credentials in application.
Well, here's what I would say. Mm-hmm. I think you should get some of those credentials and ask what he's applying for. But what if this is somebody who comes from nothing, who has no ties, who has no way of getting in the business and wants to, and he's dying for help for you?
You mean like me?
Like you.
Yeah. Like I was once upon a time when I didn't just call random broadcasters or email them to say, can you write me a recommendation to get into college?
So you think this is a millennial problem?
Well, look.
Oh, this is just to get into college? I thought this was for
a
job.
I don't know. He didn't say. He says, can you write me a letter of recommendation?
It's just to get into college. You help the guy out.
What can I say about his studies, about his...
I've known him a long time, good family, good ethic.
I have no idea who this is.
So lie and help the guy out.
I think that's exactly what you should say. That you have no idea who he is.
In the recommendation letter.
Be very honest.
But I give him stones for having the courage to reach out to me, so I'm writing this letter on his behalf.
Well, I admire or respect anybody that reaches out to me because, you know, it's very humbling, it's very nice, and I'm sure it can be intimidating if you're a young broadcaster to reach out to people that you hear on the radio, see on TV, what have you. And I certainly felt that way when I was growing up and I was in high school. I would write letters to broadcasters to ask for advice, but I couldn't imagine. I don't know how old this kid is, but he seems pretty young. I can't imagine randomly emailing Bill Pito in 1996 and saying, can you write me a recommendation letter? He doesn't know who I am. He doesn't have any idea who I am, where I'm applying to, what my skill set is. He doesn't know if I've been a good line cook at the Dairy Queen. He has no idea what I am. How am I going to get him to write a recommendation letter for me?
I'm going to go counterpoint to what I just said. Also, what I'm thinking here on the fly is he probably wrote a letter to Jim Rome. He's probably written a letter to Taz and the Moose.
Well, look, he only connected with me on LinkedIn, so I don't think he went through that much trouble.
He probably tried to find anybody he could in
so
radio.
When you say write a letter, I think he just copy and pasted probably the same LinkedIn message.
Hoping for the one sucker to answer, which happened to be you.
You know, and I'm happy again to advise, but I can't write. What does he think recommendation letters are? I mean, do you think it just comes from the sky? Like, oh yeah, randos that don't know you write recommendations letter for you.
Now, okay.
Don't you have to look that up or have some sense of where they come from?
But maybe he's desperate. And
you
think
it's like the tooth fairy? People just drop recommendation letters on your pillow?
I would drop the recommendation. And here's the other thing. You could maybe ask this person to meet up for coffee or something to get to know them, but do you really want to go through that? Well, I would just write the letter, done with the kid.
I didn't check where he is from. He could be from Toledo. I have no idea. I don't think he's around.
Fly to Toledo. Help him out.
I should fly to Toledo and have coffee with this kid to learn about him, to write his recommendation.
If you're not going to take the time to just write the letter blindly, the least you could do is at least try to get to know him before writing a letter. Either way, you've got to write this letter.
I'm not writing the letter because somebody... He could be a disaster. He could be an absolute unmitigated natural disaster.
Yeah, he probably listens to the show and sees I'm a disaster and thinks you support disaster.
And then I've recommended this kid for something. I don't even know what.
And it could be a program director or somebody that you may have to work with down the line, and it may hurt you.
Or what happens if this is...
Boss Bilotti over here.
What happens if it gets in? If it's to get into college and this kid is a total flunky, drug addict? I don't know.
Oh, so now we're making a leap of faith to drug addict.
I don't know anything about
him.
I don't know anything about him.
Give the kid some hope, some chance in life. He may have nothing.
I'm giving him hope. I'm giving him chance. But I don't know if he does cans of Whippets before school. I have no idea.
Whippet good. Look, I just think you're really shafting this kid. He was obviously desperate enough to do this.
I said I would advise him, and I'm happy to help in any way that I can, except I can't write a recommendation.
So hold on here. You're not going to meet for coffee with him.
I can't I can fly to Toledo,
yeah,
I suppose.
You're not going to take the time to do that. You won't write the letter. So what exactly are you going to do? Tell him, yeah, it's a hard business. Make sure you know you work hard. Anybody can advise him that. What are you going to do to advise this kid? You're happy to advise him, and I don't see any ideas. You're screwing the kid.
I'm screwing this kid. Look, I would like a little bit more focus from him, okay? I'd like a little bit more focus. Say, okay, I've got some questions about applying to this college or applying to get into the industry or what should I do for my demo reel or how should I approach applying for this or where should I look or any resources you can give me or what's your advice for when you start or things like this I can help with. I cannot write a recommendation letter for somebody I don't know.
I think your recommendation letter should be the next blog for DA on CBS.com or next column.
Should be a nomad.
It should be a nomad, yes. My trip.
Oh, my God, like catfish.
My trip to Toledo to see this young man.
That would be an unbelievable I'm serious. That's how Catfish started the movie.
I don't want to catfish him.
No, but he could be a catfish. You catch him. It's a guy with 40 different Facebook accounts just looking for letters he'll never use. I'll come with. I'll film. You could be Neve. I'll be the other guy.
I'm not going to trash this young man, though. That's not my trash today. If you have trashes, send it to me, DA on CBS. It is time for a little Trash Tuesday as we're going to effort. Solomon Wilcott's coming up at the top of the hour, actually. He's going to be switched to the top of the hour. So we'll do that coming up here in about 10 minutes from now. Max tweets, I'm trashing my Phillies. The only good thing about last night's game getting postponed against the Nats was that our bullpen didn't get waxed for another 10-plus runs. This is why I drink, DA. Hashtag how many beers ago?
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
You and I should form a drinking club for awful, busted bullpens because I'm dealing with the same thing with the Mets. Hans tweets, I'm trashing the person driving who goes above and beyond to aggressively pass, only to be stopped by the same exact red light directly next to me. Way to use more gas to go nowhere fast, Junior. Hashtag trash that.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Fix tweets, I'm trashing the Knicks, and specifically James Dolan. I'm a fan, and I hope they're the worst until he is not involved with the team.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
You don't have to hope. Don't worry. That's going to happen without you hoping. Think about where the Knicks franchise was in February or March. Okay, we've rid ourselves of the evil, egotistical Kristaps Porzingis. We've cleared all this space for not one but two max free agents. And that means that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant is going to come. And we're going to tank. We're terrible, so we're going to get Zion as well. So the grandmaster plan was Zion Williamson, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and parades. And where do we sit today? 3 days before the NBA draft, in a three-player draft, the Knicks have pick three. And Kyrie's headed to Brooklyn, and Kevin Durant has a torn Achilles. That's the way the Knicks crumble. And a lot of that has to do with awful luck because James Dolan is a cretin. And it's bad luck that behooves, or that builds upon, I should say, other bad luck within that organization. And they don't make their own good luck. It's just bad. Drenzito tweets, I hate to do this to my boy, but it has to be done. I can't stop thinking about how much of a putz Aaron Rodgers looks like when he slams a beer. Aaron Rodgers, get him out. You can't rep Wisconsin sipping beer like a little 7-year-old weenie Sandlot style.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Get him out.
Aaron Rodgers chugs beer like a weenie. He does. And that's a problem because then you see Tom Brady and you know that man can chug a beer. And you see Brett Favre and Ben Roethlisberger. And I think Joe Montana can probably chug a beer. Actually, I know he can. There were some long nights in San Francisco and Kansas City. And then you have Aaron Rodgers, and the guy can't chug a beer. I would assume that Peyton Manning can chug a beer. I think if you want to be a leader of men, you've got to be able to chug a beer. You've got to find the trap door. Open up the trap door and just chug. And if you can't do that because you're always sipping rosé with Danica, that's a problem inside that locker room, inside that huddle. When we come back, we'll do NFL offseason with Solomon Wilcots, who got shifted to the top of the hour. Is it finally time for normalcy in Pittsburgh, and can that benefit the Steelers? That's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.